Welcome to another episode of Ryan's Reviews. Today's episode is going to cover about half of the Stephen King movies ever made. I'm going to just go one at a time, talk about some of my favorites. A lot of these you will have seen, I'm sure, if you're listening to this podcast. Some, though, you may have heard about, or some will be maybe brand new to you. I didn't write as many notes in preparation for today's episode, so I'm kind of doing this off the cuff today. Next week, I am planning on talking about the films of Earl Morris. I just watched The Thin Blue Line, which was excellent. I'll talk a little bit more about that next week. I still have to watch A Brief History of Time, getting ready for next week. And then at the end of the month, there was a new Halloween movie that came out, so I'm actually thinking of changing that a little bit. I'm still going to be talking about Billy Summers, the new Stephen King book that came out. I'm still going to be talking about Ghost of Tsushima, but I'm hoping to maybe review the Halloween series as well, seeing that that episode is going to go up on October 30th, the day before Halloween. So maybe I will at least review the two newer movies. The new one that just came out is not supposed to be very good, but I still wanted to check it out. So look forward to that at the end of the month. But here we go. So, Stephen King movies. There are over 40 of them. I have seen probably a little less than 20 of them, just looking at the list that I wrote down. I was hoping that I would have more time to watch movies over the last week and a half, but I have not. The only movie that I checked out that was based on a Stephen King short story or book was 1408. And I have to say that the movie held up pretty well. I remembered liking it a lot more than I did. I remembered it being scarier than I originally, or that I had remembered. But the movie itself stars John Cusack. Samuel L. Jackson is in it as a hotel manager. And basically, John Cusack's character is he's a writer, and he goes to all these places in the United States that are supposedly haunted, and then he writes about them. Anyway, he hears about this hotel and this room at this hotel, 1408. Where all of these things have happened in the past. Anyone who stays there, something terrible happens to them. They end up dying. And he decides to check it out. Samuel L. Jackson, who's playing the manager character, tells him not to do this. This is a terrible idea, but he does it anyway, of course. And craziness ensues. It's mildly frightening. There are a few jump scares, but some of the CGI effects have not held up very well. The story itself was interesting, though, and I think it could have actually been a shorter film. Clocks in at just, I think, a little under 2 hours. I feel like it could have been an hour, 20 minutes, hour and 30 minutes. Maybe that's how long it was, but it seemed like it was a little too long. It seemed like there was a little too much going on with it. But overall, I think it's at a 79-80% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's an enjoyable film. Definitely not in the upper tier of Stephen King movies, but it's up there. Other ones that I wanted to talk about, I'll kind of group these two together, seeing that they are related, and that is Dr. Sleep and The Shining. The Shining is, of course, Stanley Kubrick's 1980s masterpiece. Stephen King notoriously hates this movie because Stanley Kubrick just took the source material and changed it so drastically. Stephen King usually is very positive and very, like, he's always giving glowing reviews of movies of his that come out, movies based on his works, but this is the one rare case where he did not like the movie. But this is why The Shining is so great. The book itself, really, really good. I enjoy it. But then the movie is not just an adaptation of the source material. Stanley Kubrick had his own vision of what he wanted to make, and it turns out to be one of the most effective, chilling horror movies of all time. Jack Nicholson, of course, gives maybe the performance of his career, and yeah, it's a fantastic film. Dr. Sleep, and be warned, The Shining, a lot of people say they can't sit through it because it's so frightening, just as a heads up. Dr. Sleep is not nearly as scary as The Shining. It's based on the prequel book that Stephen King wrote, I want to say, almost 10 years ago now. And it is about Daniel Torrance and the events after The Shining and just how his life has gone downhill. And then something starts happening in his world and he has to go on this adventure, for lack of a better word. And it's very, very different tonally than The Shining. And this movie, Dr. Sleep the movie, is very, very similar to the book. But for some reason, when I read the book, I didn't enjoy it very much. I think because my expectations were just so high and I wanted something that really built on The Shining universe in a way that I was expecting. And Stephen King made kind of an unexpected prequel. It went in a direction that I wasn't thinking it was going to go in. And for some reason that rubbed me the wrong way. And I think going into the movie, knowing what it was going to be, I don't know. For some reason, this is one of those rare cases where I like the movie more than the book. I would recommend checking out Dr. Sleep. It is almost 3 hours long though. Really, really good. Okay, the next movie on my list is one of maybe two or three movies ever that has given me actual nightmares, and that is Misery. And Misery, the book, is probably Stephen King's best book. If I read it last summer, I've talked about it on the podcast before, probably his best book. Misery, the film, is not nearly as disturbing. There are tremendous performances from Kathy Bates and James Caan here. But it's not nearly as frightening as the book until you get towards the end. And for some reason, the ending to Misery, the movie, I don't know. There's something about it that just gives me, horrible, horrible anxiety. I watched it recently. And I have to say that, I don't know. There were at least two or three nights over the next month after watching this that I was just like, I woke up like, I don't know, I was thinking about it or I was dreaming about it. Yeah, there is something to that movie. It's really, really good. Another one that's definitely worth checking out. The next three movies that I'm going to talk about, two of the three are definitely not worth seeing. One of them is a fairly good adaptation of the source material, and that is It. One of the longest Stephen King books, if not the longest. I don't know. It's in a competition between The Stand and It. I've read It twice, and the book is pretty fantastic, albeit very, very, very disturbing, but a very effective story. You really get to know all the characters in it, and it's one of his better books. But they came out with a 1990 kind of TV film version of It, and it starred Tim Curry as Pennywise, and Tim Curry's performance is easily the best part of the movie. All of the other actors in it are pretty terrible, and it's borderline very silly. It's rarely scary, and that's just because it was shown on TV. For what it is, I don't know. There are parts of it that I actually do like. Once you get into the second half, just like the second half of It, the book, it loses steam and it's not nearly as good. But they recently remade It into a two-part movie series. The first part I thought was pretty good. They obviously could have gone, it's R-rated and it's horrifying at points, but it never reaches the level that the book does. And that was a little disappointing for me. I was really hoping that they were going to kind of push the envelope and really, I don't know, make a film that challenged viewers. And it wasn't that. It was something that was very, very mainstream. And it was very popular at the time that it came out. And it did lead into, and again, it was always planned that way, but it did lead into a part two. And I don't know, for some reason, something with part two, the pacing was off. Critics and audiences kind of felt the same way I did about it. I shared their views on it. Kind of just lost me. It was just, I don't know, something with it. It wasn't, the scares weren't as effective. You kind of knew what was happening. And then they changed the ending around, which is fine because the ending to the book, for those of you that have read it, is way out there. But for some reason, this one just didn't, I don't have the same impact that the first movie did. Not saying that the first movie is a masterpiece or anything great. But I was hoping that it would be kind of a continuation of that level of quality. and it really just kind of went off the rails and fell apart for me. Okay, the next movie that I am going to mention, I haven't watched it in a while, and that is the original Pet Sematary. I remember this movie not being very good at all, not being very frightening. Just looking at some Stephen King movie lists of people that were ranking the movies, this was very, very low on people's list. I believe it came out in 1989. And it is just, yeah, it was not a good movie. They since have remade Pet Sematary, and I heard that wasn't very good either. But just giving my two cents, I think you should definitely, if you are a fan of Stephen King, if you like being scared, definitely check out Pet Sematary, the book. I think this is Stephen King's most frightening book. It's probably, I would think that it's probably the only book that I actually had to set down and just say, okay, I'm not reading any more of this right now. It's too frightening. I'm going to put it down and come try it again later. I think that's the only time that's ever happened for me in a book. There's just, yeah, there's one aspect of it for some reason, yeah, it really gets to me. I mean, the whole thing revolves around death and people coming back, or animals in this case, coming back from the dead. But there's something, and it's not that, but there's something in the book that really, like, I don't know. I don't want to say anything, but there's something with a family and the relationship in that family. It's very, very disturbing. The next movie that I wanted to mention is not one that, again, another one that I haven't seen in a long time. And actually, maybe I'll group the next two together, because these are not frightening movies. These are movies that are just have fantasy elements, at least with one of them. And then the other one is just known as one of the best movies of all time by a lot of people. And they both take place in a prison. The first is The Green Mile. I'm hoping to read the book sometime soon. I hear it's very, very similar to the movie. I like the movie generally. Like I said, it has some elements of fantasy. Tom Hanks is in it. It's a good time. I think it's an effective story. I think the events in it are pretty interesting. Definitely worth checking out. Shawshank Redemption is obviously, like, people talk about top 10 American movies ever made. Shawshank Redemption is on there. While I think it's a little overrated, it is a movie that I find myself coming back to every couple of years and checking out. And it's just, it's so good. So, so good. So if you haven't seen that, that would definitely be one that you need to check out. Let's see. I have Gerald's Game on here. I watched it on Netflix a couple of years back. Very, very simple premise and very, very disturbing. I would not recommend checking it out. I think the movie itself was actually, like, in terms of quality, was pretty good. But I left that movie, after watching that movie, I felt a little, yeah. The subject matter is, yeah, not something I really would care to watch. The next movie is The Mist. I think it came out in 07. And I remember going to theaters, to the movie theater, and watching this with some of my high school friends. I did read the book. It's very, very short, only about 100 pages. The book was awesome. And for what it's worth, I think The Mist, the movie, is underrated. Has one of the most challenging endings of all time. And it was not the same ending as the book. People were... I remember walking out of the movie theater and people just being like, what did I just watch? And why people were mad after seeing the end of The Mist. But I thought it was really good. So basically the plot, and I know I'm not breaking down the plot of most of these movies, but with The Mist, this mysterious fog kind of rolls into this town. There's these people that are stuck in a supermarket. A couple people try and leave the supermarket and they're instantly killed by these creatures that are in the mist. And basically everyone that's stuck in the supermarket is trying to figure out exactly what to do. And it's interesting how different groups kind of break out within this larger group that's in the supermarket. There's religious fanatics and people just trying to do the right thing and, like, kind of stem the tide of what's happening in the supermarket. But anyway, there's all these different kind of groups that break out, and it's just an interesting look at what humans will do in order to survive or what humans will come up with in order to kind of justify their actions. The book is really, really good. And like I said, it's kind of like a short story because the book length is just so, so short. And for what it's worth, I really like the movie. I haven't watched it. I think I did see it a second time in the last couple of years, but it has been a while. But I remember really, really liking it. Let's see. I only have a couple others to talk about. One, I really want to read the book for it, and that's The Dead Zone with Christopher Walken. And I think it's definitely it's an interesting movie to think about now, just where we are politically in the United States, because it revolves around a politician who is unfit to be in office, and Christopher Walken plays this character who's able to kind of see into the future and see events before they happen, and he sees what this president is going to do. And anyway, he decides to take action, and I won't say any more, but it is interesting, and this is why I kind of want to read it again and watch the movie again. It's interesting to think about just where we've been politically over the last several years and think about this movie. It's kind of a movie before its time, and Stephen King himself kind of saw the future a little bit, maybe not as crazy as in The Dead Zone, but yeah, he himself was able to see what was coming. And the last movie that I have on here is Stephen King's, being a Stephen King fan, this is sad that I'm not positive on this. I'm pretty sure this is his first book, full-length book. And that is Carrie. And I'm talking about the original Carrie, the film, not the remake that came out a few years ago. And the original Carrie, for me, the film does not hold up super well. I did recently read the book, really enjoyed that. You should definitely read that. But the movie doesn't hold up very well. But just like Misery, it has one of those endings, and it's so stupid, especially with this one. Like Misery, it's effective and well shot and well done. Carrie has one of those endings that's so dumb, but for some reason, it really, really frightens me. And the rest of the movie, it has John Travolta in it, and it's, I don't know, the movie itself is not very exciting. I would not recommend checking out, but if you want one of those endings, there are a lot of horror movies from this time period. I think it was made in the 70s that have this kind of, ending to them, but for some reason it always gets me. I don't know. Maybe I am scared too easily, but, yeah. That's that. There were a couple other ones that I could talk about. I haven't seen it. The Dark Tower movie. Over several summers, what I had done is I had read the entire Dark Tower series because I knew they were going to either make an HBO show off of it or they were going to make a movie off of it. And they ended up making a movie, but supposedly the movie was pretty terrible. That was a very, very disappointing moment for me. I don't know why I wanted to include that in today's podcast, but it was just something I was thinking about because a lot of the Stephen King adaptations end up not being very good. I know I just went through a lot of them, but if you are going to check out just a few, I would definitely, obviously Stanley Kubrick's The Shining would probably be number one. But Shawshank Redemption, Misery, would probably be 2 and 3 for me. I actually would have The Mist pretty high up there. And surprisingly, I would have Dr. Sleep pretty high up there as well. I really enjoyed that movie. But I think that's going to do it for today's podcast. I know it was just me rambling on about movies, but Stephen King movies, but I hope you enjoyed it. Next week, I will be back talking about the films of Earl Morris, including Gates of Heaven, Vernon, Florida, The Thin Blue Line, and A Brief History of Time. And then the October 30th episode, it is going to be, I have a very busy weekend. I'm going to the Lions game on Halloween. It's Michigan State on Saturday, but I'm hoping to, maybe I'll record it Friday night, but I'm hoping to have a kind of big Halloween podcast. Like I said, reviewing the Halloween series, especially the two newer ones, as well as just talking about everything I've checked out this month. Billy Summers, the new Stephen King book, Ghost of Tsushima, which I'm slowly but surely making my way through. But yeah, and a lot of other things that I've been checking out. So thank you to everyone for listening today, and I will be back next week.